You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Okay. Yeah. Tom, say something for me.
Fuck you.
Okay. Killing it. Welcome to Axe to Grind. Mobile Assault Unit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Oh, Jesus. How come this keeps happening?
Rolling.
What? How do
the Mobile Assault, Mobile Assault Podcast EP coming out on Havoc Records 2021.
There you go. It's a Gundam. Okay, Gundam. Everybody, I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And we are currently in a vehicle.
Stop saying vehicle.
We're in Moorestown, New Jersey right now.
Can everybody hit me with your thoughts on this? Tom has corrected me like 30 times today. Because
what's that? I'm not correcting you. But the fact that you can...
It's a bit of a correction.
I appreciate that.
I have to get this vehicle back. Like, you're a fucking... I'm watching. What was that show?
I'm Highway Chips. No, it's Chips. I'm Highway Patrol.
He's on, yeah. You're like your fucking Kit from Knight Rider.
Hello, Michael. We need to get this vehicle back to my aunt.
Hello, Michael. We need this vehicle back to Albany as quickly as possible.
So apparently, vehicle what? It's like it just feels like I'm a lizard?
Well, I mean, because a vehicle it's a bit reptoid. A lot. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Or you can just be like, I got to get this car back. All right.
He's not really a car. He's not frequently driving cars. You know what I mean?
I don't know why I don't say car. That's
because like a vehicle could be like a motorcycle,
right,
or a bike, or a skateboard.
Potentially even an aircraft.
Potentially.
What are the other?
You gotta get the USS flag.
So
back to
what
your
are
aircraft.
The other most recent vehicles? You rode a train across country again.
Yeah, I did.
Are you done?
No.
Is this
was
it?
This was better.
Okay.
This I didn't feel like I was with the dumbest human beings on the planet.
Come on, Dick.
Yeah, for everybody,
we'll be driving in traffic. So
we're driving in New Jersey, so we're thinking about
some asshole in a Virginia license
plate. Very discouraging going on out here. I took another train across the United
jumping.
States.
How was it?
You know, I'm not mad.
You looked like you were ready to pull your hair out.
This time was just way better. It was Boy Scouts. It was Boy Scouts and one wildly mentally ill sort of bus stop guy.
Oh, and you out wilded him, right?
I did. He came up to me.
You were proud of yourself.
I was. He tried to do his, hey, I'm fucking clearly crazy rap on me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, all right, man. I've been
me
here before.
Me too.
Yeah, I said, guess what? I've been on a train for 62 hours. I'm fucking in. And we went toe-to-toe, did our little Clinton talk, you know, where crazy people love talking about the fucking Clintons. So, but little did they know that I can keep up with my Clinton death squad talk. You know what I mean? I watch all the right-wing YouTubes. I know everything about this
you're
shit.
In.
So
talking about pizza places and
yeah.
Child trafficking. Right. And
So by the end, I was too much for him.
Did he get up and move?
He did. He said he actually said, thank you for that information, got up and left.
How good is that?
Oh,
that's a really nice moment.
You scared away a person that would never leave.
Yes.
Scaring the mentally ill.
That's
the Patrick Kinlan solo record.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So before we go any further down this road, let's shout out some sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go. Why don't we just do all four again because we're driving and can't pull up references. Let's do the fine folks at Run for Cover Records.
Okay.
Fine Wares. If you enter the promo code
Axe to Grind
and you
spell it out,
you get 15% off at runforcoverrecords.com. I'm going to recommend, let's see. You know,
we sold a couple of Berry's records.
Yeah, I think we did.
People were very excited about just about the way we described it.
Oh, that's
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we actually did a little listen before. So I think that's a move for future reads because we get a nice feel to it. So go check out that Berry's record. It's still up for pre-order, I think. And I'll also recommend you get a Young Gov bucket hat because that shit's hot for the summertime. The sun has been strong. Have you guys been out there in it? It's rough.
Yo, can I offer something that's just kind of different stages of life? A Young Gov bucket hat would have made me so fucking mad in 2003. You know what I mean?
I think maybe 2013.
Maybe 20. You know
for
what?
2019, you're going to put in the promo code.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not mad at the Young Gov fucking bucket hat. Fucking buy that bucket hat.
I do feel like you would wear an unbranded bucket hat at some point, circa like 2007 or 8, long hair era.
Fully looking like a lamp.
Yeah, true.
Bucket hat, lamp head.
Bucket hat was always not the best look for me. You can't be too thin and pull. There's some looks that are just verboten. You know what I mean? They're not going to work for a guy as thin as I am. Bucket hat, fuck it. I went to a wedding where everybody wore a bucket hat on Saturday.
That sounds awful.
That face emoji.
Yeah, well, would you get married in Gilligan's Island? What happened?
It was, I don't know. Maybe there was something to I don't know.
Speaking of bucket hats, let's talk about our friends at Triple B Records.
Oh, yeah.
B-b-b-b.
Have they gotten bucket hats? They might have a bucket hat.
I don't think he's got bucket hats.
He was a pioneer of the dad hat, and I feel like if he's going to pivot to another hat, it'll be an innovative hat.
I'm thinking he pivots to headband.
Oh.
Well, I like that.
What about
like sweatband, classic style?
What about Asian poker player visor?
With a screen printed kind of like BBB on it? Yeah. I think he could do that, available in all three colors. Red, green, and blue.
Yep.
It's a nice visor. You could wear it playing poker. You could wear it at Disneyland in 1975.
Yes,
any number of things. What if he made like the Goofy hats?
Oh, I had one when I was a child.
Same. Who didn't? They were great. Sam's got a bunch of stuff coming out. Be All, End All, 12 Inches Hot. He has, what is that other one that he's got coming really soon? You know, we haven't talked about Nudie Mag much, but he put that record out. And it is Dudes from California, Dudes and Dudettes, if you want to. Dude is gender neutral here, so.
Yeah, to me that one has always been gender neutral.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't. You know what? Interestingly enough, asshole is gender neutral to
absolutely
me.
Absolutely.
I had a girlfriend that thought it was the funniest thing in the world when I would be like, "Don't be an asshole." And
she was like. She thought it was gendered.
She would giggle like crazy because nobody in her life, you know, like, look, I'm sure the women in our listenership can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
People go to gendered insults pretty fucking quick.
Real quick.
But asshole is not one that women get hit with often.
No, I think you're right. That's a good one. So in respect to things, asshole's on the approved list here at ATG.
Yeah, I'll call anybody an asshole.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So, Nudie Mag, check that out. I don't think we really shouted out Colin Young. I think a dude from Freedom and some other bands doing some light poppy kind of shit. It reminds me of Weezer, so that means it's hitting Patrick's turntable and not coming off.
Yeah, I can't get enough.
Guest vocal appearance in the next record.
I'm gonna rub it on my body.
So you're going to go to triplebrecords.com, .limitedrun.com, enter the promo code Tom.
X to grind.
And you're going to do what?
Spell that out. Get that Nudie Mag. Get that Weezer hit.
Woo!
That Weezer hit to your dome.
Let's talk Death Wish Inc.
You know I'm tired right now. If I'm back in Weezer.
DW.
Yes.
Death Wish Incorporated.
They got a bunch of stuff coming up. We just saw a really big show featuring one of the heavyweights of the Death Wish catalog, Converge, announced. Atomic Action's doing a couple shows, one in Boston, one in Providence, featuring Infest and Converge on both dates. Cool selection of support bands. I think Wound Man,
Drop Dead,
Waste Brother, are the biggest Axe Grind supporters, Waste Management, thank you. We appreciate all the support. Your extra mugs are on the way.
Brother and somebody else.
Yeah, one other.
Did we say Wound Man?
I said Wound Man.
Okay. Drop Dead. We said Drop Dead.
We said
Peace Test.
Peace and Test. There
Burden.
We go.
Burden.
And Burden. 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 I liked Burden, actually. Cool show.
Playing places that are dangerously small for these shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Scandal Take. You ready? This total proof that Converge really kind of respectful of hardcore history, because if I were them, I would not play under Infest for any reason.
Mm.
But they do that on a number of these type of shows just to kind of in
respect.
It seems, yeah, a respect move, like a deference move.
Yes.
And that's not me. I don't respect anybody, but I think that that's very cool.
So and also, it's like it's no pressure for them.
Yeah, that's true. It's just a fun afternoon, yeah, for sure.
So go check out a couple Deep Cut Converge records. Whether that means you're streaming them or you're ordering them, I think that's a cool move. Just because, as someone who was a long time ago really, really dismissive of the sound, it has aged in a really interesting way, especially with the way hardcore's aged and the way the sound of hardcore's evolved. In that, Converge was kind of on some been there, done that with most of the sounds that hardcore cycled through. So, and they've done it remarkably well at most stops. So for some reason, Axe to Grind turns you on to Converge. That'll be interesting, but it's 2019. Why not?
I guarantee there's a 20-year-old that like hasn't checked out the Poacher Diaries that's gonna be way into it. So check that shit out. We've talked about Converge and how even those of us that aren't crazy fans do have records that we could recommend, but why don't you just dive in anywhere and tell us what you feel about them if for some reason you're not a Converge guy. But like, look, we've talked about it. There's certainly people that got turned on to Tragedy from this podcast.
We had people turned on to Inside Out. So,
yeah, that's
fantastic.
Okay, right. So insane to us, but it's a thing that happens and it's good.
Absolutely. So deathwishing.com, enter the promo code Axe to Grind, spell it out, ba ba ba. And last but definitely not least, closed casket activities. What do we got to say? Well, there's a mass exodus back upstate now. Everybody's moving back. You know why?
I think closed casket.
I think they're about to open a factory.
Oh, should I work
to make misery?
Should I work at the casket factory?
I think you should.
Fuck,
dude, casket factory like work shirts. It's the close. It's the incendiary casket, but instead it says employee. And then on the back, you got the closed casket activities, like an auto repair shop.
That's
with
cool.
The phone number, the whole thing.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So here's what Bob's referring to. Myself and Andrew from Self Defense / War Profiteer / what band was he in as a kid?
End of Year.
No, Police Line. Police Line. Thank you.
Yes.
And there was another...
What was the movie theater he worked at?
There was another one. He worked at the...
the small one. The cool
the
small
Norma
one.
Norma Jean Madison, yeah. Anyway, we both our long-term relationships with women dissolved.
Are you supposed to be putting this out there?
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, get him a date. Right. And then we both don't know what to do moving forward because we were in long-term relationships. So we're both like, I guess I'll go up to Albany for 4 months. And we both came to this at roughly the same time. And he has already gone full townie. He's going to the fucking bars.
And I don't know why you're not there yet. Oh. What is it that they talk about? Synchromysticism. Look it up.
But long story short,
Overnight Drive.
We're all going back to Albany, and he and I were thinking about going and getting jobs on the dock at EVR so we could transport ourselves back to a time in our lives. All right,
so this is where we're inserting Dropkick Murphy's Shipping Up to Boston.
Shipping up to Albany, the much less successful version.
Whoa. It's just Steve Reddy, the video of the Shipping Up to Albany Self-Defense cover of the song. Steve Reddy looking at you guys disappointing on the dock, like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
No, it's him doing penalty kicks in soccer. It's just over and over again, scoring.
Just looping.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, so Closed Casket is very busy, has a lot coming up. I'm pretty sure they have the Downpressor LP coming pretty soon. The Eyes of the Lord new LP, new 12-inch, is hot. They just played This Is Hardcore Fest. Apparently, right, their set was banging.
Yeah, we missed that set, but we heard from multiples today that it was hot.
People in this vehicle praising it. So,
yeah.
Why don't you go check out that Eyes of the Lord and keep your ear to the ground. A bunch of more new shit coming on the way. So check that out. Go to closedcasketactivities.com. Tom, what is that promo code?
Axe to Grind.
And Tom, what are you going to do with it?
Spill it out.
There we go. Let's go. What are we doing, folks? How are we doing?
We are in motion. We're we have these microphones pressed very close to our face to try to not get the
keep it there.
Try to keep it there.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
And
here we go.
We are just gonna bullshit, my dudes.
Yeah, it's been a while since we just had a rambler.
Yeah, and was I away again, or was I on the last episode? Where have I been?
You were away on the last episode. Yeah. You were back for a Skype episode. Skype sucks dick.
Sucks dick. But I found somebody recommended.
Jay Reason sent me something.
Yeah. Oh, he sent something.
Yeah. Okay. There's a better recourse for us that we've got to check out when we're.
We found when a we're better way.
Like yeah. Okay.
How's hardcore?
So far as I can tell, doing good.
Yeah. Like, let's ask that question. How's hardcore? Seems like it's doing pretty good.
Look, I'm going to... did we talk about the photographer scandal?
Do we want to?
I do, for this reason.
Is it a scandal?
Scandal. It is.
I think it's a controversy.
It is a controversy. It's fake, but here's the fun part of
it. Copyright fucking Axe to Grind 2018 on that shit.
Here's the fun part.
Let's hear it.
I think that people are so sick of tiresome, over-serious bullshit that they're enthused to revel in a completely fake, completely blown out of proportion online kerfuffle.
So you're saying that you think people bought in, leaned in on this, and went with it because they wanted to get away from more serious shit.
Yeah, I don't want it.
That let's be also real, occasionally leans into inane.
Well, also, let's just be frank. Your diet, your mental health diet cannot consist of kids on the border in cages.
Right.
You will blow your fucking head off. So sometimes you just want to kvetch about something that is light and doesn't impact your life in any meaningful way and is just to spend the time. You're not even left with a sour feeling.
So first thing first, let's address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Do you feel as though Ian from Regional Justice Center is stepping on your corner of hardcore edgelord fucking status?
That's a good question.
He's pushing you off. He's looking at you and going, hey, old man.
Yo, I'll say this.
Pass the ring.
I got accused of biting him. So definitely he's stepping on my dick.
Ooh.
When I get accused of fucking biting him, hey, motherfuckers, I've been a fucking social pariah for 20 fucking years.
All right.
You got to put time in to be as fucked as I am.
Tom, how do you feel about this level of conversation?
Out.
You're out.
No, I mean, I get, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it was a joke. That, like, it was, like, his thing, and then it became, like, a bigger thing than I'm sure he intended it to be.
Agree.
And then, but he has a point. Not everyone is a photographer.
Correct.
There are a lot of great ones. But you can have, like, five.
So the starting point of this was a photo that Ian posted from Have Heart playing Sound and Fury. I happen to know some of the inside info on this. They didn't really have media passes. That was intentional. That was also kind of one of those things that was also not that intentional because they were like, hey, last year we ended up exerting a lot of energy and effort into this.
Like tracking, yeah.
Like, oh, we need to make 60 media passes. Oh, do we need a special wristband? Do we do this? A lot of correspondence, a lot of this. And don't take this as a slight. I actually truly, truly admire many of the photographers who are at these shows and have a lot of love.
Time and, yeah.
Much respect to them. And much respect to even the people who are new and starting out or trying it. Takes all ranges and types. But they were very much of the mind, like, what are we going to do with this? What is the gain from us doing this? This doesn't seem like it's worth our time or energy. So what that led to was a lot of photographers on stage.
Right.
You know, that wasn't some choice. They're like, okay, we're going to have 15 of them over here and 15 of them over here. By the way, it wasn't that much. It was probably about 9 or 10 on each side. Which is a lot when
it's
you
like
actually
20
that's 20 people.
Stage.
You think so? And they're just photographers. And it's interesting because for me, I fall into this category. I love photographers. I got nothing against them at all. If you gave me the choice, I'd say no one on stage. Not for the photographers, but just so you don't have to deal with all the people hanger-ons, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And like, but you know what else I also am a believer in? I don't want any of that headache. I just don't want to have a fucking conversation about who can stand on stage and who can't. This just doesn't seem fun.
I've taken a position on this podcast. Get off the stage unless your band is gang affiliated, at which case put all the fucking homies on the fucking stage because that's part of the bit. You know what I mean? But otherwise...
See, that's the problem. The problem is that becomes diminishing returns because then you have everybody's homies.
No, but I'm saying that
I know.
You got to prove your affiliation to me. You got to be serious people.
Yeah, I mean that's a different story. I mean it's just a different conversation that I'm not interested in having.
Well, but I mean that's really the root of the thing. You and I aren't interested in telling 40 gang members to get the fuck off the stage. So
well, and then looking at the people who are not gang members but friends of the next band playing and being like, oh, you guys can't be on, up here. You know what I mean?
I'm more comfortable with booting them. But
I am, but it's to me, I try to look at it the same spade a spade, and it's like, yo, it's we're trying to keep it light, you know. But if it's heavy for one, it's then it's it like, oh, I have to tell somebody they can't be up here. So anyways, it's a conversation that sucks even having right now. But the photographer thing, Ian is at best very funny. On Twitter.
Very funny.
And at worst, just making a lot of jokes. And I think some of the photographers kind of got... Ooh, I like that.
That's salty?
No, the like...
No, you think they got salty?
Oh, yeah. Salty's a perfect word for it. Because he used some strong terms, terms that people get really uncomfortable. Nobody likes being called a weird pervert.
yeah, it's a little...
You know, I think Patrick said he was comfortable calling photographers weird perverts.
Yo, I
think you would be uncomfortable if we called you a weird pervert.
I mean, at this point in my life, I'm just fucking bringing on. But here's what I'll say. I call fucking school teachers weird perverts. So I'm really... I'm loose with that shit. So I... Fuck it. Yes, you're
law
correct.
Of karma, my friend.
Most people are not comfortable being called weird perverts.
Yeah, so I think people took offense to that, and then it escalated, and then you just had the entirety of the peanut gallery with opinions. And that got so boring and hard to read, and I hope if you put yours out there, I'm not talking about you personally, because I don't think I read more than 10 of them, but I just saw them. And in that way where you look at text but you don't read it, but you see so much of it, you go, no. That's how I felt.
So I've been traveling pretty much nonstop for way too long. And
You're rambling, man.
Have become preoccupied in a way that where I'm just intimidated by my phone now. I pick it up and it's like, you look at your...
Do we have to put a pin in this, Tom, so we can address some things? I think we should.
We can.
I haven't been good at responding.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks of me pretty much looking at my phone and feeling anxiety because there's just a backlog of needing to respond to
people. Is this anxiety three or what?
Likewise, I haven't really been looking at social media.
With a padlock.
So
nonsense.
I really haven't been looking at social media.
You've been creating content.
Right, that's what I was going to say. You open social media, you dick face.
Yeah, for sure. But do you know how few, like...
Have you been seeing the 518 Pride things I've been tagging you in?
No.
Lots.
No. Here's my deal. I opened the Instagram.
That was a prank for you, Tom, by the way.
You did, dang.
I started tagging him in anything that said 518 Pride. It's an at self-defense family. So.
I open Instagram. I look at the first three videos. Don't look at any posts.
Mm.
After the first three videos, I start to feel like, oh, shit, I'm not supposed to be looking at videos. I'm wasting my life. And then I go back. But anyway, the point is, I did not see much of the photographer bullshit.
Yeah. Photogate.
Yes. And I would have liked to maybe seen more because it's such a non-issue that I find it a relaxing scandal. Like, I really do.
It's like a training wheels scandal.
Yes.
Like, it's like, this is nothing.
Yes, precisely.
Right. No one's getting canceled.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I'm tired of the canceled. Give me some nonsense.
Controversy.
Right.
Okay, so you're saying you're preferring Photogate to cancellations.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a vote. Are we sick of cancellations and we would rather have controversies take up our time?
Yo. I would.
That's hard to say.
They're both really annoying.
No, but the can't. I mean,
cancellations when they're legitimate. Yeah.
No, but people are pivoting away from those now. Have you seen the latest memes?
No.
The latest memes are. We're not canceling in 2019, fam. We're putting people in the recycling bin and taking them back when they're reformed. And it's like,
who made these memes? You?
No. These are people. Look, we know who these people are. The people that make these memes are the people that were 100% canceled until homie got caught. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the Brotherhood of United Memesters got all over this.
I want my homie back. You know what I mean? And so now
I want to sing "I Want My Homie Back" to the Baby Back Rib song so bad.
Now we're recycling. Homie back from cancellation. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
That shit was fake to start and super tired now. So I'm over that.
So do you think this was RJC's attempt to be meta? By canceling photographers.
Well, I'm not going to speak for Ian too much, except that he actually believes what
he does.
Saying.
He does really believe it.
And he does. So it's not a joke.
It's a joke that he takes
the
it
extent.
Far.
The extent of it is the bit.
Right.
This kernel is the truth. Right. So.
And his position. I'm certain I'll misrepresent it if I try. But it's if I.
You're
try
going to anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to anyways. It's basically. Hey, we're actually distracting from a living moment of art. You know what I mean? We're actually... he's not so banal that he's doing the, hey, guys, we got to start living and stop looking at our phones. He's not doing any of that bullshit, but he...
But he's going to go one step beyond that, one step removed from that.
He's doing the crust art gallery version of that statement.
So I mean, do we feel that... How do you feel about that as a statement? Because, I mean, I'm pretty with that. I definitely think there's a weird thing, you know, like...
Yo.
If I go into my whole thing about photography, I think that the reason people take photos has shifted so drastically just on an individual level. Not people who are like, I'm a photographer. Though they're the I'm a photographer people, maybe that shifted too. But people who were I'm a photographer were taking photos for other people to see. People who are casual, people who are just individuals with a fucking shitty digital camera 15 years ago or a fucking shitty fucking film camera 30 years ago, were taking pictures for themselves to keep memories, to make memories, to, hey, here we are on vacation at Uncle Jack's house and here's fucking whatever. But now the reason for taking photos, even on that personal individual level, seems to have shifted to, I'm taking pictures to show other people what I'm doing.
Drug Church has toured with acts that have younger crowds, and right. I have watched people film themselves singing the entire set.
Okay, you want a good anecdote from Have Heart?
Sure.
In California. I see a girl with her significant other. She's on stage, jumps up on stage, hands significant other photo or the camera and says the phone and says, hey, film me, I'm gonna go stage dive.
Okay.
Stage dives very poorly.
Yeah.
You know, appears to be singing a song, but perhaps not the one that was being performed by the band. By
you know
Havart.
You had lost me on this. I wasn't backing her. Now I'm with it.
Yeah, you're into it.
Yeah.
She was just, well, it was all for the gram. Thank you. Hi.
Drive right through.
Man, I do. I pay my tolls.
No,
toll
that
people
guy
are
ran right
oh
through.
No, he's got. Oh, he probably has Easy Pass. There's a cash and Easy Pass. Thank you so much. We're recording a podcast. Have a good night.
Bye.
We're recording a podcast.
I love people who work at toll booths.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing of mine. It's a fetish, I guess. So she does it. Then she comes back to the stage where significant other has filmed or taken photos.
Watches the video of herself.
Watches the video, flips the photos.
Not happy with it.
Gives it back. This is all dead true. You guys were dead right. Has significant other stand up on a riser.
Do it again.
And says, go here. And then is gesturing like this and saying, here, take, angle it like this.
Oh, my God.
And then goes and does it again. Personal photo shoot.
That is.
I watched the whole thing unfold and was in fucking shock Again, not sure if she understood the song he was playing, and like maybe she did, but and maybe she was just mush mouthing, and that's fine, do your thing. But but it was amazing to watch, and I know there's some video cameras out there, so I'm so excited to see that moment on video while also watching my own personal reaction, because my mouth's agape. I'm just like, I'm like head back and forth looking for other people to confer with. Like, do you see this? You see this? But that's a real fucking thing that happened.
And that's when you know what, like, that's why bands kick fucking cell phones out of people's hands.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and so, I mean, so that to me, if I go on my photo tangent, it's that I think it's interesting the reasons people take photos now. You said it, you see people taking photos of themselves while they're singing along. It's really interesting, and I do think it takes them out of the moment, but maybe that's the reason they're there in that moment anyways.
Yeah,
look. And I'm not gonna deny whatever their personal experience is, or diminish it by saying mine is better without me recording this. And man, I'm just there with my own little fucking memories.
No, I mean,
whatever.
I'll jump in on that.
You can get go Father Time on us on that one. But
well,
you know.
Well, here's the thing, right? This is one of those can't win circumstances, seemingly, where if you say a thing that is obvious and true, then you look like some old fuck. Like if, like for example. We all got fucking pranked by mumble rap a few years ago.
Ooh,
where
yes.
It was like everybody on earth knew it was bad. Young people thought it was fun to be contrary and say that they liked it, right?
Yep.
In the same way that like some of us liked fucking spiky hair punk or whatever. Just fucking whatever. And then you wait for the old person to take the bait and say, yo, this shit fucking sucks. And then you make fun of the old fuck for saying the thing that you knew he was going to say, even though it's fucking obvious and true.
Right.
So there's no way to win here. So I'm just going to lean in and fucking lose.
Go old.
That shit's lame. Have you seen the motion picture Ghost? That's an old reference.
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember when the guys, when the bad people die in Ghost?
Uh-huh.
You remember how it's scary because they get basically consumed by shadow people?
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's
how you feel?
That's waiting for all of us.
Yeah.
And no fucking stupid photo, no fucking video of us singing along to some shit is going to spare you the fucking creeping tendrils of the grave.
Tom, where did this go off the rails?
So,
I have no idea.
So
he's lost me.
So what I'm trying to say is...
Yes, please get it back.
Wrap it up.
Throw that shit in the fucking trash. Nobody gives a fuck. It's like your uncle's boring photos of fucking Hawaii.
Yes,
it's the back of the fucking hotel in Hawaii. Leave it off the fuck
alone.
As
a younger person, I took photos like thinking I was not thinking I was but I was like, I'm gonna take a picture of these cool mountains that I'm seeing because I want to remember it, and I'll have this picture that I took of these cool mountains. Then you get the film developed and you're like, man, I'm a fucking bad photographer.
Yeah.
The fuck is this mountain? Why the fuck do I have 10 pictures of garbage? And then you're like, oh, this picture of me and my pops, oh, that's cool, that's neat, you know, like, that's cool, I'm glad I got that one. But so anyways, I think people should think about what they're doing in the moment and what it means and like just, you know, all that shit. I had a long conversation earlier, but you know, to get to the real estate of a stage, practicality. Do you like to perform when there's a bunch of people standing around you and you can't move?
No.
Pat, have you ever had to experience that? Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Sucks a dick.
I got a whole lot to say on it, but we can spare it for some other time.
So real estate of the stage is a simple thing, and I want to shout out the photographers that were at the Worcester Have Heart shows where there were just as many as at the Sound of Fury shows. I drew imaginary lines on the stage, and I was like, this is an imaginary line. Please don't cross it.
Yo.
Please respect the band space so they have room, and they were really gracious about it to the photographers, and the photographers respected it. So it's kind of that, and the big root, the thing that I really appreciate about what Ian and Regional Justice Center were saying is, if somebody politely says, hey, would you please not take photos of my band, or hey, would you please not videotape my band, or whatever it is,
accept it,
and that's cool.
That's how it is,
because that's just a cool thing, and it's just a common decency issue.
Can I lob the hot take grenade?
Go ahead.
Regional Justice Center has no front person.
Yep.
There's no dedicated singer. Ian drums and sings. I have no idea on earth why you'd want to take a photo of that.
Right. That's a good point.
Visually, that is that's not this. What are we doing here?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying it's a different experience.
Yeah.
And part and parcel of that is the photo aspect. Like, what? Oh, there's a guy playing a guitar. Very exciting.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX, and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget, and we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
All right, so let's go to something new. What do we got? So Sound and Fear. So how's hardcore? Was my question to kind of kick this open. Feels like everything's doing really well. Feels like there's a lot of people. This is hardcore just happened. Seemed like a lot of people were stoked on it. Seemed like there were some good sets by young bands. Kind of mixed it up. Sound and Fury was gangbusters. People were going crazy. I was there, so I can speak on it personally and say it was fucking lit. What I really enjoyed about being in California was those little Razor scooters that you can ride around on.
So fun.
So fun. So dangerous. Yo, but so fun.
In LA, I rode it from whatever that is, like mid-city or whatever the fuck, to the airport. And
that's comical. Yes. What was your bill? $40?
No. It was like.
Did you have to switch and charge the battery?
Yes.
Yes, I figured.
And it was like $18. But it was so fucking dangerous. Mm-hmm. I would have been better off meeting a total stranger at a bus stop and saying, hey, can I get in your car? You know what I mean? It was so. I almost died twice. And I mean, like, that's not like an exaggeration. I felt like I was going to die probably 20 times. I almost died twice. That's a lot of times to almost die on your way to something that's only fucking 13 miles away or whatever the fuck it is. So, so dangerous, but really fucking fun.
Really fun. Do it when you're in a city that has those things.
I was in San Diego the other day.
They got them? That seems like a perfect spot for them.
They do this dumb shit where there's slowdown places where they actually, the machine slows down for you.
Oh, wow.
It fucking, really?
Yeah, you feel like you're in some fucking Big Brother Singapore style. Yeah, fuck that shit.
So, This is where we get our American flags out.
Right. Libertarian Patrick's about to pop out and say, I want my, take the governor off of the fucking scooter altogether. I want to go 65. But it was.
It's just impossible. The motors don't, they're not big enough.
No, but I did, I think I hit over 25 going downhill.
If you're bombing down hills, yeah. You can go real fast.
Yeah. Might have hit 27 going downhill. Scary as shit.
Real scary going 20.
Scary as shit.
Going uphill, I have to kick that thing.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this. If you are ejected from something with zero protection at 27 miles per hour.
Yeah.
You're going to die.
You're very badly hurt.
Yes. Yes.
Call that road rash.
Yes.
You're very badly hurt. And they're just letting it fly out there. They don't give a shit about it.
You got to provide your own helmet, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. So you get ticketed if you're riding on the sidewalk. Watch somebody get that.
Which is a total fraud in Los Angeles, because if you're not on the sidewalk for at least a portion, you're dead.
Yeah. I was just bombing around downtown L.A., but I didn't go sidewalk because I watched somebody get a ticket. And I was like, yo, this shit ain't worth the ticket.
No,
I ain't worth that hassle. But a fun time. That was one of the most fun things. We actually just discussed the politics, but the policies of a 2-day festival versus a 3-day festival. We had some friends in the car with us for some upcoming secret projects. So we were talking about that. I went on a like fucking rant about it, in that a 2-day festival, in my opinion, is better than a 3-day, strictly because Sundays suck.
Sundays are just impossible to book effectively.
Well, and I mean, I actually think This Is Hardcore did the thing that a fest doing it should. They put the clear
headliner
on Sunday, which was Gorilla Biscuits, and the bands right under it were Cro-Mags, Breakdown, Death Threat. And that's a pretty, like, I'd say that's like 9/10 of people who go to hardcore shows are going to like at least one of those four bands and probably like 3 of 4 or 4 of 4 very easily. But even that, it's a Sunday. It's tough. People get back, et cetera, et cetera. And, kudos to those of you who can do it. But it kind of circled back to me to the idea. I don't know if you guys know, but we're all a little bit advanced in age.
What?
I know. Shocker. But it's the idea that you should engage with hardcore on your own terms. And a Saturday of Sound and Fury, I was out at the beach, Santa Monica, and then at Topanga Canyon for most of the day.
Shout out to Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, Topanga Canyon. Fucking great spot. Nice little beach area. The Topanga Lagoon, not fun, just like a seagull shit pit.
Yep.
So that wasn't cool, but otherwise a fun time. Tom, what is your move when going to an all-day music festival? It could be hardcore, it could be anything.
I don't.
You don't. But if you, like, back to, so here's a good one. Back to school, Jim.
Now,
last year we recorded for several hours.
Right.
Well, and then you played, which was a fucking incredible.
I would let, you know.
Let's use back to school, Jim.
I tried to watch at least a song from every band.
Right.
There were certain bands that I knew I really wanted to see. But you have to take some time. You can't be there from Doors to the closing of the Doors. I think it's too much to ask of anybody.
Right.
Like, I went to Riot Fest one year when Jawbreaker played, and I happened to have like a friend that was working for one of the bands and had an extra pass.
Yeah.
So I literally walked in, watched 4 bands.
Nice.
And stood at the soundboard and watched Jawbreaker from the soundboard. Like, that's the way you can do it. It's just, I mean, I respect the folks that get there. And like we were saying before, which kind of sucks, it's like some of these things are so long that I look at things and go, well, I would really like to see those 2 bands on at 12:30.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing I really want to see till like 5.
Right.
So it's either like, do I get hemmed up for 4 hours missing some stuff, or like watching stuff that I don't want to see or whatever? Or do I just show up at 5 o'clock and be like, I'll catch those other 2 bands
some other time,
next time they play around here, which is, you know, not
which
always...
could be cool, or could be like, well, they're just on some regular show. If I saw them at the fest was fucking fun.
Right, the band breaks up on the way home.
Right.
Yeah. Always a thing.
We'll consider this the hitchhiker guide to attending hardcore festivals. Pat, what's your move?
You mean ones that I'm playing or...
Both, because I think it's hard, and I explained this, that it's been a while since I attended festival purely as an attendee. You know, but when you do, the experience is so different than if you're just if you're an artist or you're involved in putting it on, et cetera, in that, you know, the ones that don't allow reentry, you have some decisions to make, like Tom was just going through. So go through whatever you want. You know, if okay, let's so say as an artist, because you've done, you actually, you were just at Ypres Fest, right? Right.
I did Ypres, Full Force, Yera on Air, and fuck, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Sure, sure. A few others.
2,000 Trees, and maybe another one that escapes me at the moment. I just did a festival run. For those of you that that speak our industry language, I just did a festival run.
Well, the Euro Festival circuit. Yeah.
And I honestly love these shits. I get a little stressed out in the same way that I get stressed out with L.A. or New York shows, because L.A. and New York are my least favorite places to play, despite the fact that they're my favorite places to play.
Sure.
And the reason for that is because you know too many people, and it, for someone like me, that's that you feel inundated, you know, like people are hitting you for guest list. You have to interact with fucking 40 people, one after another, because not all these people are friends with each other.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that, where like you might got like 12 friends at a thing and they all approach you individually because they're not homies of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I find that tiring to go from conversation to conversation. It makes me feel like I'm speed dating with people I've known for 25 years.
It's one of my least favorite parts about being at festivals. I experienced it where I was at Sound of Fury and saw a bunch of people who I haven't seen for a long time and was excited to see.
Straight up.
But I was doing other things, and I was like, I can't do this shit.
Yeah. And
it felt fucking awful, to be honest.
Yes. Yes. I thank you for putting it like that, because I was going to sound melodramatic if I did my whole thing. But yeah, it's how you feel. You feel bad.
Yeah, yo, it's an awful feeling, especially in a postmortem where you're like, oh, I saw, yo, I'll be very specific. Shout out to Jimmy Harvey, a dude I really like, and
wonderful
who I,
guy.
Great guy, who I really wanted to spend some time and talk to because I knew he was going to be at the festival. He lives fucking 1,200 miles away from me, if not more. And you know, here we are going to be 3,000 miles away from where I live, 2,000 solid from where he lives. And I got to see him for approximately 40 seconds.
And you couldn't enjoy the 40 seconds.
I couldn't. I was like, I got a nice, hey man, how you doing? Hug it up. What's up? Yo, I'm literally on my way to go do this thing I have to do because I'm doing shit. And I just didn't get a chance to catch up with him. And like, I literally felt bad later. It just didn't feel good because it was like, oh, that sucked. I would have liked to spend time with him.
Yeah. So that's how I feel in New York and LA shows. So sometimes I'm stressed out at those. And sometimes I feel that way at festivals, because you run into a lot of people that you really like, that you know, that you haven't seen in a long time, and you are shortchanging every single one of them. Not that you are a prize,
if I'm going to spend, I'd like to spend time that's valuable. Like on the inverse, I got to see our mutual friend Mac Miller. I got to spend a little bit of time with him, then got to go out and get some dinner with him. It was fantastic. You know, a similar situation with a couple of my friends up in Worcester. You know, like, they know who they are. It was fucking great. Like, it was one of the highlights of my weekend at both these festivals to be able to go and have a meal with them and just sit and hang out and just, you know, have normal conversation.
Yep.
Not festival. So far, I think our hints are, pick your spots. You can't see everything. You can try. If you're 20, you might be able to see everything because you have the attention, mood, time, and interest, and testicular fortitude, or fucking intestinal fortitude, however you want to put it, to make it through 40 plus bands.
Ovarian.
So bless up. Ovarian
fortitude.
Ooh, ovarian fortitude. That sounds hard as hell.
It does. Yeah. A good band name.
A great band name. And then the next one being socially, people don't take it personal any which way, right?
No, and yeah. Look, this is a heads up. Again, I'm not... You know, some people know me from this podcast, and some people, although, yo, shout out to the band that we interacted with today, who didn't know what I looked like and thought based on my voice I would look like Danny DeVito.
Well, no, they were like, not Danny DeVito, but somebody who would look like Danny
DeVito.
Like
a man, yeah, like a man that kind of gives you a Danny DeVito vibe.
Yeah, and I'm
like,
a similar height, you know, shape and vibe, yeah, right. Personality. Yeah.
So shout out to them.
That was fantastic.
It's pretty funny. But some people know me from this podcast. Some people know me from bands, etc. Here's a heads up that, like, maybe just while people are listening, 10,000 people get this message. If I big time you, trust me, I didn't big time you. I just didn't see your fucking face. And, yeah, you're probably white and look like everybody else at a fucking guitar music festival, so I fucking missed it.
Yeah, so to pull that back, Patrick is a boring white dude from fucking upstate New York. He's not intentionally trying to big time anyone.
Ever. Literally.
Ever, yes.
So if I did that, it's just because I didn't recognize you in the moment.
Yeah.
Which, weird experience, I saw a friend who is very recognizable. But I saw him so out of context that I did not recognize him for a full 5 seconds. And because it was just, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? It would be like landing on the moon and being like, Mom? You know what I mean? What, like, you would just automatically assume that it was something totally incongruent. Oh, it's definitely an alien. Yeah, no, wait, it's Mom.
Life glitch.
But that happened in a music format the other day, and I felt bad. Anyway, the playing festivals, I've said a million times, I really enjoy it. It's low stress, except for the ones that make you show up at fucking 9 a.m. That's insane. But it's low stress. I like it. You eat a bunch of food. Shout out to the festivals in Europe that fucking overfed me. Shout out to the ones that I grifted for fucking extra fucking meal tickets. Appreciate you too. And I like it. But attending them... I might be at the, for people we've talked about SPAC on this program.
Yes.
That's the Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Yes. They owe us royalties at this point.
I'm now at the beach towel at SPAC portion of my life, where I would like an opportunity to sit down at some juncture, not on concrete.
Sitting down feels really nice.
Sitting down can be lit if you were on your feet all day.
Tom, do you enjoy playing festivals with your bands?
Not really. I just feel like it's, you get there. Well, I mean, I haven't played one of these like open
Mondo,
air things.
Right,
these,
yeah.
You know,
the big dogs like Drug Church play.
Yeah, I mean, we're nobodies, but it just feels like everything goes extremely quickly. Like you have to get there at crack of dawn. Like, oh, doors aren't until 12, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, we play in 10 minutes, and I haven't done anything.
Right, that feels weird.
Like, I'm still in, like, the clothes I showed up in, because I didn't, you know, like, I didn't get to put on show or whatever. Like, you know, I didn't get to do this, or, I got to write a set list, or, like, it just feels very harried, and especially if it's as someone who doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that rhythm.
Ugh. I mean, the other thing for me for festivals, performing it seems not fun. It seems like it can be a lit thing if your set's great.
I thought your
set at Back to School Jam last year was fun.
Super fun.
Us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool, but like, it was also fucking hectic as shit.
That's right.
Until
I remember
moment,
how stressful it
you
was.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Until
it's
the
like,
moment you're playing and then you're done. And
right.
And so you're not really soaking up and enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, fuck, I really wanted to, you know, I didn't get to watch all the bands I wanted to watch. Or like, you know, you get stuck outside talking to somebody and it's like, oh, cool, I didn't get to watch fucking whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it goes to me all too quickly, you know, which is probably preferable than it going all too slowly.
Yeah,
sure.
If we're being honest, but you kind of miss out on some shit, you know. So I feel like I couldn't imagine like, I mean, I go to them, so I mean, it's not like it's, but like going to like, you know, at this age, if I'm going to Black and Blue Bowl or something,
yeah,
I'm probably going like, well, I'd really like to see fucking so and so, but. fuck, I'm just going to show up at 6 o'clock or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't do the whole day. It's
no,
because
it's a long, long day for, yeah.
It's almost too much. And I mean, I wonder if that'll become, you know, a thing across the board and not just for old adults.
Well, the thing I try to tell people when I've booked big shows, festivals, long, full day shows, I truly am booking them for a 20-year-old. 18 to 20.
Right,
because
it's not
that's
meant
the
for us.
No,
yeah.
That's the person who has the aptitude for it. Now, we all fall into that category, and a lot of people do, where it's like, oh, shit, I do like that fucking band Magnitude who's playing, you know, at 2 o'clock. But I really, that's the one I'm interested in, and I'm not really interested in that or that or that or that. And then the stuff I'm interested in later on doesn't start till 6.
Right. So what do you do?
And it's a choice, you know? And it's tough, because then
especially
you...
Especially if you're locked in. If you're hemmed in, it's like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know what I mean? But you're like, oh, I really want to see this band. But it's like, do I want to kill 4 hours
right.
in a fucking holding cell? You know what I mean?
No,
that's kind of rough.
It can be really tough.
You know?
It can be really tough. So it's, you know, you pick your spots, and you do... And, you know, I lean to what makes you feel good. but I almost never regret seeing the band I want to see. Like, in the moment, if you're watching the band you want to see and you're watching the set, you're it's probably pretty fucking good. But that time where you're then not able to spend 4 hours of time doing right. shit you want, oof, can be rough.
Right, and you have to interact with it however, you know, makes the most sense for you, or yep. you won't come back to it.
That's right. So
pick a spot.
So this loops us back. We touched on a couple of things. We're not going to keep it too long today because we literally are driving and it's the middle of the night yes. on a work
in
day.
In the middle of the night.
For people that think that this is just a weird thing that we get off on doing, we had a day of a lot of secret shit going on.
Lots yeah. of secret shit.
So,
all dope.
So
super dope.
Some of you are going to trip out really fucking hard at some of what we're offering you. So don't think that we just suddenly, like maybe you think we're just wandering now. Like our, you know, like my
who's the dude who wanders the earth?
That is Kane from Kung Fu.
Kane, yes.
Also the...
Or Mike Posner.
There you go.
He's walking across the United States.
Shout out Mike Posner.
How long would it take me? To walk across the United States.
Can I get some sponsors to walk across the United States?
I would do that.
I would do it in a heartbeat. If I could get new sneakers and meals out of it, I would just do it.
Yeah, I'm with it.
How long would it take you?
I think
not just a Q Jimmy World song.
No, I think
3 months.
Yeah, it's 3 months.
That's fucking brutal.
The 3 months walking pretty good chunks every day.
I think you'd have to do 20 miles a day minimum.
That's fucking crazy.
Well, 20 months a day times 90 days. That's not enough.
Holy God.
So
you need to do 40.
I couldn't.
You can't do 40 miles a day, can you?
You could do 30.
You could do.
30 is rough.
If you're walking, what, 15 hours a day?
With 30. Well, I walked 30 in England across weird terrain of various types, and it took me 12 with 2 stops for food. So you could do 10. You could do 30 miles in 10 hours. If you were like eating Cliff bars and drinking from a camel,
I think you need to get around between 25 and 30 is your average to make it 90
damn.
Days. I think it's about 3,000 miles. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I trained ahead of time, I could do 25 a day.
And it would take about 100 days. Yeah,
5 days.
That's
a week.
Actually all right. So come out as sponsors for this shit. Looping back, how's hardcore? It's a funny question to ask, but like. I think it's an interesting one because of there's a lot going on, and it also feels like this transition time. You know, Have Heart, a band who wasn't around, did these reunions. They were fucking big, but it's not like that's the only thing people care about. There was a lot of like these shows. You know, whether it was This Is Hardcore, whether it was the Incendiary shows in Brooklyn, whether it was Sound and Fury, whether it was any of the fests that Drug Church played. A lot of them seem to be pretty fucking popping, you know? A lot of the secret stuff we did today, all new bands, all fucking sick.
Yeah.
Lots of cool shit happening.
Let me jump in with the thing that we've kind of talked about in the past, but I really experienced today because of a conversation that we had. I think that there is a thing that many of us would be opposed to when we were young. And now I see nobody opposed to it, including myself. And that is that people are into everything at the same time. Uh-huh. When I asked you, hey, I'm familiar with Drain and they share members with Gulch, but what's Gulch's sound? And you told me, well, imagine Youth Attack mixed with heavy, grimy California.
Mm-hmm.
And, yo, those were different worlds fucking 15 years ago. That was
different. Right.
And I would have been happy they were different. And I was happy when I was different. And hey, that's not the same shit as what I do, right?
Right.
Now, there's people that don't give a fuck about Power Violence that really like RJC, right?
Right. And there's people who are checking out Regulate who are into fucking Regulate and they're busting out Taking Back Sunday covers.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I don't know if I approve of that. But here's
but a lot of people do.
Yeah, true.
And okay. A lot of people are just down with it.
And here's the thing.
And they are down with it.
How interesting is it that as the world became more tribal, now hardcore is more, hey, man, I like a little taste of everything. You know what I mean? How
it's
fucking weird is that?
Well, it circles into this thing where we said non-core is the future. because I really do think that's going to be the entry point for a lot of people come the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know which ones we're taking, but yeah. the tour offers that just came to Drug Church, one of the six non-core bands of note,
yes,
are fucking bananas because you could just slot it on anything. Where the bands like if the bigger bands, if the marquee fucking headliners are just like, yeah, we would like something aggressive that's not going to completely alienate the fucking crowd.
Right.
Yo, you just get fucking put on small wild things, yep. fucking things.
Right.
And so I do agree. Non-core, like, look, maybe there'll be pushback on non-core in a fucking year.
Sure.
And maybe that'll be a thing that kids can rally around. But like. But yeah, right now it's going to be an entry point for a lot of
people.
But
I see that as the crossing point. I think there's a lot of bands right now. And I mean, tell me what you think of this, Tom. I think hardcore is just about as diverse right now as it's been in the time I can remember.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone playing together and kind of it's not as kind of split up in everyone's own like genre. Ghetto almost.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's like you said, like Patrick said, yeah. Drain and fucking Gulch, completely separate, like
different vibe, totally.
They're all best pals and shit, but like it's completely different. And they're playing together, they're touring together. You know what yeah. I mean? It's like,
and people's response is, "This is sick."
Yep. Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and there might be people who lean and prefer one,
sure,
but that doesn't mean they're dismissive of the other per
which
se.
Which is so much different than yes. it had been for a very, very long time.
I mean, I was in a fucking epicenter of how dismissive and divided a place can be. Is that New Jersey really was like that, you know? And it was varying levels of how separate and dismissive it would be, but it was pretty thick, and it was, you know, you lined up what you were into to that, and it was like, oh, I don't like this band. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it was a weird
and that kind of sucked, you know what
definitely
I mean? For everybody, you know,
definitely. And you're young, and you know, when you're young, maybe that galvanized kind of thing is less offensive, but it's certainly not better. I just wouldn't qualify that as better.
No.
Even or I would hope no one would.
No, but I mean, look, maybe at the time,
only the biggest
maybe,
dickheads
maybe in
would
the time
that
it filled you with some sort of pride or whatever. Like I'm a backyard power violence guy, or whatever the fuck.
Right.
But
I would be into backyard power violence.
Oh, California.
California's all about it. Oh my god.
About backyard. Like,
oh my god.
Really?
East yeah. LA is backyard power violence to the core.
I didn't even know it was a thing. I'm into it.
Oh yeah.
I'm here for it.
Huffing and fucking blasting.
Yeah. So, but. Honestly, the festivals this year kind of underlined it. From the big ones down to the small ones, to me, there was more variety this year in what was put on festivals
yep.
than there has been in some previous years. And it has me feeling mostly good, despite the fact that if this was fucking 1998, I'd be a little weirdo about it.
Right. But now it was received, like, you know, incredibly well.
I know.
Basement got like a Chromex fucking one.
Yes, it's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's awesome. Like, yeah. And they deserve it. They're a fucking fantastic band. But like, you watching that, you're like, oh shit, did not. You know what I mean? Like, this would I assume they would be like the band that people chilled and just watched. But it was a thing. Yeah, it was great.
Yo, how sick would it be if this was kind of like my RJC photo speculation that mm-hmm. that. People are just tired. Give me music I like. I'm having a good time. Fuck it all. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I mean, it ties into the conversation we had earlier. Right now, it's a fucking crazy time. And if all that your feed is the pictures of the concentration camps at the southern U.S. border, life feels pretty fucking grim. And so there's a certain level, despite the fact that hardcore and music, you know, this world of music is supposed to deal with real things and not ignore them. There is a level of escapism to it, you know, and there is a level of being able to say, I want to find joy in something and enjoyment. And, you know, the trivial nature of a fucking discussion about photography online, man, it can be exhausting and stupid, but it but it can be a welcome reprieve from actually having to look at the world. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't. I there's fucking concentration camps in our country right now. What the fuck? But at the same time, if you let that sap all of the joy from your life, you might be doing something wrong.
Yeah, I would urge you. You can feel very strongly about that and actively work against it, and also stage dive to Drain.
That's right. That's fucking
so,
right.
So I'm just telling you. And also, not for nothing, look, I know we're saying the thing that we say often on this, and I understand that we're beating this fucking drum to death, but here's what I'll say. Here's a realization that I've had recently, and we talked about it when we talked about Hers, right?
Yes.
Which is, hey, this band's telling a lot of people to fuck themselves, and I might be among them, and I like it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And that was... That's a realization that I think might come, maybe that comes with age. But look, I realize that my love of Earth Crisis was a fuck you. Walking around my mom's house wearing the fucking Drop Dead shirt is a fuck you.
Has she made a comment to it yet?
No, my mom is so
noticed.
Blind God to bless. Any fucked up thing I do.
She doesn't want to look you in the face.
No, that might be it. She's just ashamed.
She's committed to her bit of not giving a fuck about your bits.
Check this out. Sorry, we're shifting gears here really quickly to something that you're going to enjoy, everybody. Everybody in my family is either a nurse or had 11 children. So today, I walked out of the shower at my mother's house wearing my underwear thinking nobody was around. Just my fucking little whatever, right?
Okay.
And everybody that knows my little weird body, it's weird to walk around in underwear that is tight and it's weird.
You're wearing tighty whities?
No. The little boxer briefs. Yeah, but like they look like almost like bike shorts. Like I look pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is I'm walking around with my little old man legs and my otherwise tight body. I walk out.
The sock in your
swipe
underwear.
Right, please. Yeah, right. Someone,
the
please,
cucumber, right.
Someone.
I showed you my penis. Please respond.
Please respond.
God
I walk
damn,
out,
please,
and it's my mother and my two aunts and my sister. And I go, "Oh, I'm sorry." And they all go, "I was a nurse. I was a hospice nurse. I was a
I've
fucking
seen some
I've seen so many dogs.
I've seen people shit themselves.
Right,
in that,
exactly,
yeah.
exactly. And they, well, you know, my one aunt was like." Your uncle who just died sat around in his underwear for the last 3 weeks of his life. It's all good. And yo,
good comp.
I got
yeah, really.
I gotta
you look like your dead uncle.
I gotta say,
in your underpants.
I mean, no doubt these legs are old man legs. but I gotta say, honestly, that's a lit feeling when you're just like, oh hey, we're not even. This isn't some weird hippie body positive family. It's just
we're just nonplussed.
Yeah, everybody's seen enough fucking dongs in their life. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, yours isn't any cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
seen enough dongs.
But
yeah.
Anyway,
and I rocked them all.
But at any rate, what the fuck was I going on about?
We were talking about the we beat the drum on.
Oh yeah. So look, I get it. We talk about this, but I think it's this
again.
Is one of my most favorite times in hardcore, and I don't know if I even felt that way a year ago.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that this is a very good time in hardcore because of the kind of. Oh hey everybody, we're now on a train.
The hardcore train's coming through.
It's like the Outsiders.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's the end of the Outsiders.
It really is. I'm going to start reading Stay Gold.
But it is, yeah,
doors
I don't know.
Doors are open.
Yeah, it's weird to have the doors
empty
open.
Train.
Nobody in there.
It's empty, they're airing it out.
But, yo, do you know how often people fall asleep on trains and don't wake up until
a lot.
The
yes.
thing is
more
parked?
Often than
yep.
you think.
All a right, lot.
So finish the thing you're saying. So we can...
I'm just saying that, yo, tribalism's taking place so much in our political lives and our everyday lives. It's kind of lit that it's not lit that Regulate does that Taking Back Sunday song. When I see them, I'm going to say, what are you doing? But it is lit in the respect that there is somebody who is getting off so fucking hard on that.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy that that exists, sort of. So
it's nice to see the diversity. We've talked about it, the like comeback to a few different sounds. And what I like is that so far we're not seeing it swing a pendulum and was, you know, saying, oh, where's the heavy stuff? The heavy stuff's still fucking right there.
Yeah, there's too much heavy stuff. Don't be stupid. There's a lot of heavy
there's
stuff.
There's a
everybody.
Lot of heavy stuff. So it's fine. It is where it is, and that's good, and enjoy it too, because it's always better when you have a healthy, a mixed plate of shit to enjoy.
Yo, let's do this as a little exercise.
Okay.
Well, you're going to have to massage this idea. Help me.
I will.
Real troubleshoot this for a second. Who's at the top of each genre? In terms of what,
like subgenre,
subgenre. Because I think that if we did that even 10 years ago, it would come off divisive and shitty.
Yeah, but now we could do it, and it kind of is like, yeah, like who's at the top of heavy is really like who's at the top of the more like thrashy metal is Power Trip. Who's at the top? Oh, who's at the top of noncore? I think it's Turnstile.
Yes, it is Turnstile.
Turnstile, yeah. And who's at the top of melodic hardcore?
That I don't know the answer to.
Is it abuse of power? Is Fury there?
Oh, the new abuse of power would put them in contention, but it's still Fury. But anyway, but let's do it on a bigger level, because what I'm saying is we could actually turn people on to actually bigger bands in a weird, funny way.
Yeah, which is fun. Okay. We'll break it down and kind of break out a handful of like these little subgenres, because I also think that despite the fact we're talking about this neo-no-tribalism shit that we're experiencing, which is cool, I think there's still things people might be afraid to taste. So 2019, 2020 is the year that we're not afraid to taste.
Put some collard greens on your plate.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Collard greens are great.
I'm going to just bring this up so that we can talk about it next time. Mm. Did we talk about one of my heroes being...
Is this a teaser?
Yes, it is. Because I don't want to get into it, but I do want to talk about it at some point. And we might have talked about it on a previous episode. Did we talk about one of my heroes being... a Holocaust skeptic? Did we talk about that?
No,
we have not.
Amoebic Sid.
Let's save it. Let's tease that out. Coming next time.
I got a lot to say. Tease it out.
All right, is this more for worst possible timeline?
We already discussed it. But
Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on.
He's doubling up on his content.
But no,
you wouldn't
but
post
honestly,
the same thing on Twitter and Instagram.
I just want you guys to... I want your views.
Okay.
I've
got some.
But anyway, which I... let me guess. You guys are not jazzed on Holocaust skepticism. I don't know if we
weird,
need to talk
weird
about
hot take.
It.
Well, yeah, we'll get into it on the next episode. Quick one for you. Have you do you have an opinion, Star Trek, Jean-Luc Picard or James T. Kirk?
You know what? I like the movies. So to me,
Been in movies.
They have, but the Kirk ones are better.
They are.
So I'm a Kirk guy by
You're
default.
You're a Chris Pine cat. Chris Pine.
yeah, that's the wild
type
card.
I'm going to send you. We did get an email from someone who was named after James T. Kirk. So
congratulations,
Sean from Sunstroke his middle name is Kirk.
No shit.
Shout out.
That's amazing.
It's really cool. So thank you everybody for listening. We haven't done this one in a while. Email us axetogrindpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at
AxeToGrindCast. All right.
Follow us on Instagram, AxeToGrindPodcast.
And call us.
It's been so long, I can't remember the number. So
we're going to put it in our bio or
it's
something.
It's in there. It's all
link
there.
In the bio, as they say.
And we still have to do the phone call episode because we do have a lot of those messages.
Yes. Everybody, thank you for your attention. Sorry that this is a mobile unit.
Don't ever apologize for that. That shit's whack.
I think that the sound quality worries me.
No, the acknowledgement of it is the part that gets whack. You and Andrew both do it, and it's just not worth your time to apologize. Our shit still sounds better than most. So.
Do they do that?
All the time.
Do they do car episodes?
Never done a car episode. They should.
What do they apologize for?
Sound quality. Because they're, you know.
It sounded good.
It sounds really good.
We keep the windows open. We were fine.
Okay. No, very good. Everybody, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Your time.
Bye.